Hey everybody, welcome back to the Great and Terrible AHS. We're here to wrap up the finale of Freak Show. Let's finish this thing. let's bury this pile of crap. Let's dig up a septic tank and put this shit pile in there, eh?
Build a gazebo.
Build a gazebo on top of it so no one will ever remember it's buried there, correct?
There's not gonna be another episode of Freak Show, you stupid slut, but you
know. That's not even going to be house.
Well, I'm here with my fellow grave digger, Miss Shadow Lovely.
Hello.
I hope everyone got the season one callback and I'm not just like randomly throwing out. Anyway.
Yeah.
Okay.
And fellow joke doer who that was a reference for the race. He's not just a raging misogynist normally. It's Slow Beef.
it was meme-y around the time we recorded this. For real, by the way. But
absolute banger.
Incredibly funny to imagine a guy that probably doesn't exist who is only listening to this episode of the podcast and no other episodes and thinks that Slow Beef was specifically referring to me and being very rude to me on God.
Damn it, you lustful wench. I can't believe you're recording with us.
One guy getting very mad, like, hey, this Slow Beef guy seems a little
and then one
questionable.
Guy is like, oh, I'm just a dude, you know, but
with Slow Beef wouldn't be the first one. Wouldn't be the second one. So we were at the post Dandy killing everybody at the Freak Show, and Jimmy coming back and not dropping bread on the ground with his wooden claw hands, because there's glory in suffering if your name is Jimmy Darling. And as he's just kind of walking around being like, what the heck? And then like starting to move to where the bodies are. Desiree, instead of being like, Jimmy, or like something, walks like fucking half tackles him, which like, hey, what if he like really gave you the business with one of them wood claws? I have a feeling you wouldn't feel too good about that. Cause like, that would be my reaction. If I saw a pile of dead bodies and someone like tackled me from the side, oh, you're getting the hands. Like I'm
right,
not, I don't have time to think. I don't have time to check. I'm punching.
And you know what? Would not be the first time that Jimmy has sent Desiree to the hospital because of his lobster hands, you know?
Yeah.
Far for the course.
Keeps happening. So the scene ends with them just sobbing and having a quick exchange, I guess, of catching Jimmy up on hey, everybody died, which Jimmy probably would like look forward and be like, I know. I can see this.
Yeah, they're like weirdly like loosely piled up by the stage for some reason, so
God,
I kind of got it.
The like laziest like staging of a killing too. It's like, yeah, see, they were up on stage. Do you get it? And I'm like, no, I don't think I do.
They weren't even all up on stage. The one person who we've never seen perform, Penny, is on stage, and the rest of the people are kind of just
like
laying,
like in a line,
leading up
to the stage,
a real loose pile of people, just kind of making like a weird like mountain. At the base, I think what it was is Dandy got the first lady up there. He got Penny up there and like impaled her on the microphone, and then he was like, "Damn, that sucked. That was like she was like kind of heavy." I'm just gonna like drag everybody else and just kind of lay him near the stage. Like Jimmy will get it. He'll understand. he'll get what I'm going for. I think. Yeah, it's a lot. And normally, honestly, for like two-parters like this, especially like really important ones, I would say let's do a really quick recap. But like we specifically only covered like 15 minutes of the TV show in the last episode because all that happens is Dandy kills everybody. So that's like it. That's all we've established is like Dandy killed everybody. They said he was stinky. Like they decided randomly that he was stinky and they hate him for no reason. And you may be thinking, oh, well, they have reason. They don't.
No, they don't. Definitely not. Yep.
The people who are mean to him have no reason other than, like, he's a little weird. Which, it's a freak show. I feel like they shouldn't, you know, glass houses throwing stones and all that. You know what I mean?
Yeah. And they also, they turned on a dime with it. It was immediately, like, even, like, Paul, you know, was Paul. Like, yeah, like, yeah. We'll have to deal with my boss. Ah, just kidding. He sucks. I hate him. Yeah,
so. Oh, I'll get you a lemonade, big man. And then, like, the next scene, I'm going to kill you, big man. Like, he was like, come on, what are we doing here, Paul?
Yeah, the heel turn specifically from, like, anything you want, boss. Yes, boss, too. I'll fucking kill you. Is like... literally, like, split second. It's like, Jesus Christ, Paul. Maybe Elsa had onto something.
I was going to say, I think Paul is, like, the secret fifth antagonist of this episode with the problem of he has no motivation. But, like, otherwise, he does, like, a lot of negative things to most of the cast. So, like, he's up there.
Here's my, like... filling in the blanks as we are so off to do for this show and give it writing that it doesn't deserve. My low-key thought is, remember how, like, I don't know, Paul had that weird thing where he was like, I'm my beautiful face. If I had a normal body, then I would have been too powerful. So God nerfed me and gave me these hands. I think that Dandy is the first person that's not Jimmy who was also nerfed by having hands that were not standard issue. So it wasn't quite as big of a threat. Dandy's just like a handsome fella. Like, he's got like nothing weird going on that's physical that you can tell. All the weird stuff inside, and personality wise. So I think that, at least in my, the little bit of,
that just yeah,
that
really
I can cobble together.
Paul off.
Yeah,
in the fan
Paul's
fiction
like,
that makes this good, right? Yeah.
Paul's like a hot guy that doesn't have like weird hands. Man, fuck this guy. And that's what was the final nail in the coffin in my mind. Because otherwise, it just doesn't really make any sense. But
do you think the American Horror Story writers think like, no, a horror has to be something where everybody dies at the end, or like all the main cast or most of them die?
Yes.
Do they think Hamlet is like a horror?
I think they go for that, like, horror can't have a happy ending. That's not disturbing enough kind of thing, which is like not a hard and fast rule to normal people writing horror, but to them it is.
The few times that they have tried, like, it's been a really bad happy ending. Looking at you, season 3, with the... oh, we have the Supreme now, and we're doing a weird thing, and now 50,000 goth people are here in Louisiana to try and learn magic.
We're going to reveal the existence of magic, right, to the world, and just deal with that, whatever.
Yeah, it's so much. And what's crazy is, I mentioned it in our last episode, is so much happens in this first 15 minutes, just like truly just so much happens, and like 70% of the cast or more gets deleted, and we're not even done deleting people yet. And then like that's over, and then it's gonna segue to the latter half of the episode where literally nothing happens for the next 30 minutes.
Also, like, some weird out-of-sequence, poorly done cinematography that makes you think, like, maybe there's, like, a King Crimson event happening. It's really wild. I'm excited to get there. Because, after the embrace, we just hard cut to the Dandy Mansion, the Mott Mansion, where Dandy is, like, having a small wedding in the playroom to the twins. That's like cool with it, which is really, really weird. Like, Dot just kind of like has like a quiet response where she's like, oh, we talked about it. It's fine. I'll just deal with it. And then, yeah, Dandy's like, no, I think you're going to be involved too, which, he did also say he was never going to have sex with the twins, right? Like, it was like
We dedicated actual airtime to his mom being like, hey, if you're going to have sex with the twins, here's like a tray of condoms. And him being like,
yeah, that's right.
I would never have sex with the twins. Disgusting. I would never defile the twins in that way. And now he's like, yeah, no, I'm definitely going to have sex with the twins. I don't know why I said all that.
It's not defiling if you raw dog is suddenly the dandy lifestyle.
it's because this show is like, there always has to be babies. And every character wants a baby or doesn't want
a
baby.
Dandy having like weird views about like protection would be actually quite good for this show, I think. Like, that would, if they had done that, I think I would support that at this point. Not, like, not the idea, not being against the, them having a character that had that idea, to be clear.
Right. Yeah,
oh, I'm
yeah.
sure. I'm sure we're going to have them at some point if they don't already exist.
Because this will choke the royal wiener. Are you serious? You know.
Yeah. Yeah. So they have like a weird little wedding. And now again, Dandy, more people just kind of deciding arbitrarily that they don't stand for what they actually stand for. Like Dandy was never like that TM to Dot up until now. He was just like, yeah, it's fine that Bet loves me and you don't. I just want you to be nice to me and I want to be nice to you. And Dot's like, go die in a fire.
Yeah. The violation that Dandy committed was of privacy. He went and read their diary and shit when he was explicitly asked, please, this one thing.
Right.
You know, which was like, also because they were hiding something terrible from him.
Right.
It was like, yeah, I'm writing in my dear diary, I want to murder Dandy's future wife / the other half of my body. like that's kind of fucked up to write down. I mean, honestly, that's that kind of thing of like, shut the fuck up. Shut the fuck up. Like, using an unsecured cell phone, shut the fuck up. That's not, that doesn't count. Writing it down in a book, shut the fuck up. Don't do that. That's evidence.
Tweeting about crimes. Don't do it. Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
Shut the fuck up. Yeah, posting a video on Instagram. Shut the fuck up.
Don't write it if you don't want someone to read it. That's the rule, but not to Dot, who also, as someone who has, like, unrevocable access to her inner thoughts at any given point in time. Like, that's not really, like, you really don't want to not trust the person who, like, always has access to your thoughts, who you have made like an unspoken agreement with that, like, you don't read each other's minds all the time. Like, you want to be able to trust that person. And I feel like finding out that Dot was like, I'm hella gonna kill Bet, that should have instilled more distrust between the twins, I think, instead of bringing them closer together. But that's not how this show decided to take it. They were like, no, Bet will just have a martyr complex and be like, it's cool, you can murder me. And then that will make Dot be like, well, now I don't want to. Now let's kill Dandy.
This fucking show.
Speaking of that, Bet's like, now we have like a wedding feast. And they're at the big table that him and his mom used to sit at together. And no one else is there. And then Dandy's like...
What if there was a character instead of wanting to kill the other one in a way that's like provably rejectably stupid on its face and like wouldn't work and they wouldn't survive and all that? What if one was just like trying to inflict her personality on the other and was just trying to be like, we're becoming one person because I'm forcing you to be me as well? Like that kind of thing. I think that would be like so much more sinister and so much more insidious, right? And like there'd be so much more you could do with that as opposed to, I'm going to stab you with a knife and hope it doesn't kill me. I'm going to like hope I get through this one and you don't.
Yeah, but unfortunately, American Horror Story thinks that they are goosebumps for adults, which they are not smart enough to do. So instead...
That's just post-teens goosebumps.
Yeah, young adult goosebumps, but they're not very good at it. So they have to, everybody has to die in their, it's not scary if nobody dies, even if there is like the chance they can be revived or whatever. No, they think horror has to
not having
someone
like
dying.
Personality fully subsumed and just kind of removing a person from existence by like getting rid of, that's
get
less
out?
Scary. Okay.
The plot of Get Out, yeah.
Kind of Get Out. Yeah, it is kind of Get Out, huh? Yeah, they kind of do that to some extent. They kind of shove you in the back and then take over. Yeah, it's kind of, you know what? Get Out's a good fucking movie.
Yes.
You make a great point, Liz. That's a good movie.
That's a good movie I wish I was watching instead of American Horror Story.
If you take
American
nothing
Horror Story, they should steal from that instead of Freaks. They should steal from from Get Out, please.
You know what? This is the thing you should take away from American Horror Story Season 4. Just watch Get Out.
Yeah. Watch Get Out. It's great.
Or any season of American Horror Story, now that I come to think of it. Gonna watch American Horror Story? Let's go Jordan Peele instead. It's fine. The end. Yeah, no moral.
That's the stuff. Yeah.
God. That's the end of our podcast, ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah, we're going to go watch Get Out now.
Yeah, we watched a lot of bad media, so you could say, we'll just say, don't do it, watch Get Out instead, or go kick a football, touch the bark on the side of a tree, whatever.
Pet a dog. Eat a granola bar. Who am I to say what you should or shouldn't be doing?
God, I wish that was me. Yeah.
But speaking of eating, they're back at the empty table that doesn't have food on it yet. And Dandy, I don't remember exactly what he says, but Dandy somehow brings up hunting big cats and having a bunch of babies in that order. And the reason he's now on board with having sex with the twins, he doesn't even know they're freak mode yet, that they're like real freaky style getting down with it. He would be thrilled, I think, if this scene didn't happen. However,
so
he, same, but he thinks that they're going to have freak babies. And he's not like specific. When I say freak babies, he says that, not me. That's right.
We're going to have one baby that can read anyone's mind and another baby that controls the power of magnetism and another baby.
That's the plot of WandaVision. If you haven't seen it. yeah. I know that Dandy's like real out of touch, but like he's smart enough to know that that's not how it works, right? Like it's not like statistics when you're trying to catch shinies in Pokemon. Like you can't.
It's
just
literally
be
not the X gene. It's literally not the X gene. Yeah, that is what he is thinking of, is the X gene mutation where you just like pull a gacha and pull a random power, and sometimes you suck and sometimes you're Phoenix. You know.
Yeah, he seems to think that's how it works, though. And I'm like, that's not even how, like, conjoined twins works. Like, that's not even how that works. Like, you're maybe at, like, a slightly higher percentage chance of having just regular twin babies. But I don't think that the conjoined part is, like, a thing you can pass on. I don't know. He doesn't either. But it doesn't matter because they spiked his drink. Because somehow they have got Desiree in here as the maid, and he does not recognize her until she whips her three titties out, which is insane because the whole like latter part of the shooting sequence is him specifically looking for Desiree.
Yeah. Like, specifically, like, going through the entire, for anyone who forgot, going through her trailer, like, slowly looking at every single space, going to look into the closet, she is, and then before he looks in the closet, gets attacked by Eve, who then he, you know, has his gun teleport and kills Eve, then goes back in to check that closet, and only then, after he, like, very intentionally goes into Desiree's trailer, looking specifically for Desiree, twice, then does he finally walk away. So yeah, the idea of him just being like, who's that?
Yeah.
To like a maid is like unbelievable. Yeah.
He says
I've never seen
too.
This person before.
Yeah. She's like, gotcha, bitch, as he starts like getting like drowsy, and he's like, who? I've never seen this woman before in my life. And then she like whips out her three titties and he's like, oh, okay. That's the identifiable part about you. Nothing else. Definitely not the fact that I looked for you really hard to make sure you wouldn't, like, I don't know, turn me into the police or whatever. Yeah, that's crazy. Anyway, how did the twins have time to set up this plan? Because clearly they are involved here and masterminded it, but whatever. Dandy tries to stab her, and he can't because he's drugged with something. And then Bette shoots him with a gun she has in the arm. Actually, it's his gun. How did she get it? Don't know.
Doesn't matter.
They don't show us. man, they really did kind of set Dandy up to be like this Jigsaw-esque mastermind. They set him up. I mean, they want him to be, and he's not.
Yeah.
Right, yeah.
Like a very, very, very Kira type thing where they wanted him to be like puppet master genius controlling everything. And then he was just like, all right, well, I guess I'm done here, twins. Do whatever you got to do. I'm tired. Take care of it.
Yeah, and, like, it doesn't... The craziest part to me is, like, that doesn't even match, like, up with any characteristics of his that we would know. Because if there's anything we know about Dandy, in general, but specifically about the twins, is that he is so overbearing with them that, like... He was constantly breathing down their neck, always wanted to be with them, like, always, always. They couldn't get any space from him. And now that, like, he has them, he's like, you have no reason to try and leave or kill me or anything, I'm sure. So I'm just going to let you do whatever the fuck you want to do. Go wherever you want. I don't care. Very bizarre. Doesn't align with anything we know about this character. He has never had that laid back, easygoing personality in any aspect of his life. It's very strange that he's applied it here. Either way, the show tries to half-ass an answer to how all this got set up.
This is insane, by the way, because it's so poorly framed. I had to rewatch this the first time I watched this episode, and I had to rewatch it again today. They just flash back in the middle of, like, him getting shot to a separate meal of, like, a time Dandy and the twins were eating somewhere else, and Jimmy is, like, nearby. And the way the twins are, like, set up and respond to it, it legitimately looks like at some point Dandy has gained the ability to alter the flow of time or something. Because, like, they look baffled at what's going on. Like, they're just like, really, yeah. Oh, we killed him. Why are we back here again? What happened? And then it's just like, no, this is just an insane flashback that has no reason to be in this order at all, even a little. Like, absolutely crazy that this scene was not just before. Like, it should have just been before. There's no reason for it to have been after. It's fucking outlandish.
Well, they want it to be a plot twist, but, like, it can't be a plot twist of something you just revealed, like, 10 seconds ago. That's not what a plot twist is.
Also, like, yeah, he killed all of their friends and family and then took them in and were like, okay, now don't do revenge on me. And they were like, okay, well, we did revenge on you. And we're supposed to be like, but how?
Or why? Why would they do that? We're supposed to just believe that they were happily marrying him and that they were just, like, on board with it now. That's so crazy. Whoa. And again, just a piss poor explanation. They're like, yeah, they were eating in the garden, and fortunately Jimmy broke into that garden, and they were like, hell yeah, gonna get him a little butler outfit and a maid outfit for Desiree, and we're gonna get these little calligraphy invitations made that we're gonna put on the table that indicate that you're gonna die, that we're gonna kill you.
Like, I'll be real too. There's a certain element of, if they had shown the Mott residence to be so overflowing with hired help that mm-hmm. you could easily blend into the background, I'd believe it. But, like, they made a really big point about the one maid and the one maid's daughter. And, like, that's been mm-hmm. it. Yep. So, like, especially when you're trying to sneak in, I don't know, like, let's say, for example, a lady that he was explicitly trying to hunt down and kill with three titties, or like the one guy who knows that he's the killer who did it with the clown that, like, is the murderer, comma, also has wooden lobster hands. Like, I feel like I just feel like the jig is up, dude. There's no amount of, like, Agent 47 sitting down and playing the drums perfectly that are going to get him through this one, man. Like, they're busted. As soon as there's like, hey, what's up with your hands? These? Like, yeah, you're done.
Also, like, why go to the trouble of doing this whole, like, agent thing of, like, being like, oh, well, we got a butler outfit for Jimmy and we got a maid outfit for Desiree. Like, that didn't matter because by that point he was already poisoned before he ever even saw those two other people. So why did we get them, like, weird little, like, outfits? Who were they hiding from? Because it wasn't Dandy, because he clearly didn't know they were there, or else he would have said or done something. So, like, why did they do this strange little bit where they're like, we're gonna sneak in as the hired help? There's no other people there. Like, who are you sneaking from? Yeah, it's
yeah.
so cool. It's so cool. But now he blacks out, and now it's time for the wet box. They put him in the wet box. You hate to see it. Dandy's in the wet
Beloved
box.
Beloved freak show thing that every freak show has. That's mm-hmm. right. The magician's box.
That's
the
right.
The thing that every freak show has.
That's full of wet.
Hey, wait. We didn't have a magician until Chester recently, right? Did he bring the box with us? I thought sawing a hat was his thing. All right, it's fine.
Yeah. Yeah, they're just like, look, in the back, we conveniently have one of Houdini's drowning tanks. Because, like, I don't think they understand that you're supposed to get out. They're like, yeah, this is the tank we killed Houdini in, and we're going to kill you in it, too.
It was a weird move to just kill yourself in front of the audience for no reason, but
Houdini... I don't remember exactly, but I think they straight up say that it was Houdini's, like it belonged
yeah,
to him.
Yeah, they do. Yeah, they're like, yeah, this is Houdini's drowning box that we tried to drown Houdini in, but he always kept getting out. Good luck, Dandy.
I actually missed that, too.
I love the idea of, like, that there are people constantly trying to kill Houdini, and that's why he's doing that to him, but he just keeps getting away, and they're like, God damn it. He always
damn,
does
good.
This. It's not even an act. It's just they keep trying to kill him, like Wile E. Coyote keeps trying to kill the Roadrunner.
The Roadrunner? Yeah. And he just keeps finding ways out of it. They're like, damn it, he's so slick.
Well, I guess we have this box for no reason now.
Meep, meep. Don't make fun of the dead.
Also, I didn't even make a note about it, but like... How they get him in there? Like, it's Desiree and it's Jimmy. Like, well, I guess the twins are there, but like, it's
the
twins. But like,
the twin. For what it's worth, I want to be clear: the twins, for lifting purposes, count as less than one person. They do not count as two people, because I feel like that would be an easy mistake to make.
Well, yeah, especially knowing that each one of them controls half of the mecha. Each one of them only controls half of the robot. So, like, they're not lifting anything. Absolutely not. Anyway, he's in the wet box, whatever. And we get a flashback that shows us that Desiree just wanted to cut his balls off. And Jimmy's like, no, we gotta kill him theatrically. It's what my mom would have wanted. And I'm like, no, your mom was gonna do what he did, actually, and kill the whole freak show, and then herself. I don't think anybody knows Ethel, you know, and that makes me sad. I don't think a single person actually knew Ethel TM, because like every single time, and it's been a lot weirdly, that someone has been like, Ethel would have wanted this. It was something that she very explicitly did not want or would not have done. no one has properly characterized their good friend, quote unquote, Ethel. Insane. Also, Jimmy, what the fuck are you talking about? We'd have to kill him theatrically. What are you talking about? She was just gonna shoot Del. Like, what? What do you mean? And why can't you do? Is cutting his balls off not theatrical? You could do both, I guess. I don't know. Desiree and Jimmy are like, "Hey, wake up, rich boy. You gotta get out of the wet box."
Wake up, samurai. Time to get out of the wet box. Bow, 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 bow,
bow. And Dandy's like, no, I'm not this kind of guy. I'm a song and dance boy. And I'm like, citation fucking needed, Dandy, because we've seen you do a lot of shit, and singing and dancing is zero of those things. Thank God, frankly, but like, we've seen you do a lot of stuff.
Legitimately, this is like maybe a fucked up thing to say, but the only thing Dandy was good at is murder. And it's a shame, you know? He should have stuck to his calling, frankly.
I mean, allegedly.
Just stopped trying to settle down and shit, yeah.
We didn't even see him kill the nine ladies at the Tupperware party. That could have gone really piss poorly, and we just don't know.
Do you think that went badly? Do you think it was like all higgledy-piggledy? And like it was, he did get all of them and didn't get caught, but it was like really embarrassing. Like at one point, his fly opened and his dick fell out of his pants. And he was like, oh shit.
Well, I was gonna say they all ended up in the pool, so like something bad happened. Yeah. And then Dandy's like, twins, my wives, plural, let me out of here. And they're like, go to hell, Dandy. And then Bette starts crying about the other freaks and like how sad she is that they're dead, which is crazy because like the twins never interacted with anybody else, really. I don't really recall a single scene where the twins interacted with another freak that wasn't Elsa, Ethel, or Jimmy. I can't recall off the top of my head any interaction she had with any of the other freaks. But alas, I guess proximity-based friendship. Then Desiree starts hooting and hollering about Stanley, who is meeped right now, but, like, we never see him again, so we don't really know. Sorry, spoiler alert, they don't, like, ever say what happens to Stanley. So maybe they
ripped off their movie. They're happy, you know. Yeah. It's like, all right, that's all we needed him for.
See, they forgot that was the end of that movie. So like there wasn't more story. They with Stanley, it's right. Not the end yet. So like we maybe needed more closure.
Whoops.
Yeah. Oops.
This gives me questions about Meep. Too bad. Anyway.
So then, yeah, Desiree starts, like, kind of ranting about Stanley a bit and then, like, calls Dandy, like, you're the biggest freak of all, which Dandy was like, that was my whole point. Yeah, that was, like, what my deal was. Yeah, you got it. Yeah.
Yay, someone gets me.
I thought you all had solidarity about that, too, and that would be kind of a weird thing of you to say, Desiree, but whatever, you know.
Whatever.
It's fine.
I guess, yeah.
Whatever, let's just wrap it up, people.
Well, big talk from three titties. Well, anyway, so Dandy starts
saying... Heard you got a big clit.
Oh, God. So Dandy starts yelling about how he was supposed to be immortal or whatever, which was not part of his character.
No.
And then he starts doing the I hate you thing again. But like it's been so long since he's done it that when he does it again, I'm like, oh, right. You were trying to push that. That's so embarrassing that you're trying again now.
And
wow.
Also, that was like when he was like a mama's boy, like a spoiled mama's boy. Yeah. His mom's been dead for like 7 episodes at this point. Like he hasn't done that because
he got
hasn't...
married.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like we've moved past that specific thing he does because he's had like 9 character shifts since that point. So like we're past that. I don't know why we're doing it again. They're like, we forgot to make him do this every episode.
Oh, that's,
so here you
that's
go.
That's right. He had a thing. We have to,
and it was his catchphrase.
Whenever Dandy's not on screen, people should be asking, where's Dandy?
What you talking about, Jimmy?
And does he hate the person he's looking at?
And then, yeah, Desiree, like, tries to deliver, like, a zinger of just, like, tonight that boy is the star. And everybody's like, what?
She says that, and Jimmy says, freaks shall inherit the earth. And I'm like, what the fuck does that mean? I'm sure the writers got a chub when they heard that, when the first person pitched that in the writing room. But, like,
it's like meek.
Yeah.
It rhymes with meek. Right.
Oh, and that kicks so much ass, they say, snorting another rail of cocaine off the table.
It's like, shouldn't it fit the scene it's in? No, it's too good. Just put it in.
Yeah, put it in wherever you can. We've been holding on to this since episode 5. Put it in somewhere. Put it in somewhere. Yeah, and then that boy is a star. And then we watch Dandy drown. Bum, bum, bum,
and that's like the end wah. Of that's the end of the freak show story, like basically.
Yeah.
And I'm not kidding.
Uh-huh.
That's basically it. Everybody died. The twins are alone. Desiree and Jimmy are alone. That's it. It's just them. And now it's time for Hollywood, I guess.
We in got the future. A new Hollywood.
Yeah, we're doing a really ugly and cheesy cut-in sequence of someone doing a news report talking like this, which is like a comedy routine that, like,
right?
Whose Line Is It Anyway would do in, like, the early 2000s.
I know.
Yeah, like,
doing it.
Holy
like,
shit,
real.
Get it together, brother.
Like, yeah. You can't do this. Like, stop it.
Yeah, it is legitimately like it's hard for them to do something that's like so shitty and low production that I'm like, this is beneath you, American Horror Story. But like, this is beneath you, American Horror Story. This is embarrassing. And also they have when they're talking about the like the so what it is it's a cut in being like Elsa Mars is the most successful woman in the world. She's so good at doing Hollywood. It's unbelievable. She has three albums and they're all in German and it's cool to be German now. Which like okay, what? I guess. And then they're also like, she innovated the most with her incredible Elsa Mars hour. And I'm like, how did she innovate? And they're like, we're not going to mention that. How tastefully leaving that part out for the audience to come up with an idea we didn't have.
But like, how could she be good? We saw her. She wasn't that good a singer. Like, you know.
She's ass.
Don Bett, who had no training whatsoever, outclassed her. That was the whole thing. Like, fuck.
Good thing they never sang again. Good thing we nipped that in the bud.
You know, you're
the,
right.
That the twins are good at singing.
What the hell? Why did we nip that in the bud? What the fuck?
Didn't need to anymore. They decided that wasn't their deal. Ugh, yeah. It's, yeah, whatever. She married that dude, by the way. The guy who's played by Neil Patrick Harris's husband. In case you care. Yeah. Unfortunately, that will be the literally the most important part of the next 30 minutes of television.
Elsa married that guy. She has two dogs named Showbiz and Box Office because she's the most Hollywood person of all time. And that's why she did good, even though they explicitly said, hey, we're going to have to be less German because they're really not cool with Germany right now. And she's like, I'm going to release three albums fully in German. And it worked, I guess.
Sure.
They're shooting a coffee commercial and it's like, you know, pretty straightforward standard delivery stuff, like actually pretty accurate to, you know, like 60s kind of commercials of just like, we drink coffee and this, that, the other. And there's like little bits about how he has to wrangle her or whatever, which like, okay, I want on the record, this is weird, this commercial, but not because the writing is like this, but because whose fucking manager is in the commercial with the talent? What the fuck are you doing? Like, that would be crazy, right? If you had a manager who's like, hey, I want to, can I help too? Like,
also, like, the bit is that, it, in case, I don't think we mentioned, it's cowboy themed, hence the wrangling bit, and like, she doesn't have a problem with that. She's like, yeah. I'll pretend to be a cowboy. And then something about wrangling. My husband has to wrangle me. Get it? Because he's both my husband and my manager. Teehee. Tongue-in-cheek. 60s humor, baby. And then she's like, I've decided. What's the most infuriating is it's all one take for some godforsaken reason. And she gets like 90% of the way through this 3-minute commercial. And then at the end decides, fuck this, and like just just like walks off stage and starts throwing a tantrum. I'm like, man, you were so close. You almost did it in one take. It was in one take and you almost did it. She hates it. She hates it so much. And then she goes to her dressing room and her husband, whose name I can't even remember. Who gives a shit?
Let's be honest here.
Comes into the room. And he has a lady with her or with him that we're supposed to give a shit about, I guess, named Judy Manners. And she's like, I'm here to do your magazine spread for Halloween. And Elsa's like, I can't perform on Halloween. And her husband's like, but it's in your contract, though. And I'm like, yeah, well, Elsa, maybe
explicitly,
you should have mentioned that.
It was, you have to perform at least 3 holiday shows a year, to which, like, yeah, it seems like you would pick those out at the beginning of the year and be like, Halloween cannot be one of them. There's like more than 3 holidays.
But you know what?
Cool it.
You only need one more. You don't even need to be that good at planning. Like, if you hit St. Patrick's Day, boom, Thanksgiving and Christmas will save you.
Easter, like, even.
Yeah.
Yeah.
New Year's.
Fucking sneaking New
Year's.
In with New Year's.
Yeah, I was gonna say New Year's is a banger. You do Christmas, you do Thanksgiving, Christmas, New Year's. 9 months of sleep, baby. Let's go. Yeah.
I'm like, you didn't like mention that because like that's obviously clearly life or death. I think if I was like having someone write up a contract for me, I'd be like, hey, make sure they put in there that I will not perform on the night where I'll die if it happens.
I'll burn in hell, literally, if I have to perform.
Also, like, just pre-record and play the thing, because that's how specials worked for a really long time. Like, live is not like it can be cool, but it's not like a prerogative most of the time when it comes to like TV. You know, like it's fine if there's like a 10-minute delay. Most people will never know. Like it's cool.
Yeah. Also, like, now that I'm thinking about this whole like her whole deal with this, this means that there's also like baked into this a belief, at least in Elsa's mind, that Edward Mordrake will double dip, that there is no double jeopardy with with Edward Mordrake. It doesn't matter if he's already tried taking you one time. If you perform, he's like, well, I gotta come back for you, specifically. Lightning does strike twice in the same spot. Because, like...
Also, I thought it was only, like, carnivals and, like, you know, like, freak show stuff. I didn't think, like, putting a special on Hollywood counted. Right? Like, that's crazy, man. Are you telling me, like, no one's allowed to do anything? Like, if someone has, like, a cool goth-themed Halloween concert, does Edward Mordrake show up and be like, all right, kids, one of you's got to go.
Wrap up here, because...
are you one of those guys who stands outside of Little Caesars and spins a big sign? Not on Halloween, you're not, because if...
Absolutely cooked.
Edward Mordrake's gonna fuck you up, brother.
Jay Leno was like, here we go again. There's gotta be someone worse than me, Edward Mordrake. Come on. But
yeah. So we're not to that point yet, but she's like, I can't perform on Halloween. And he's like, you have to? Question mark. And she's like, I fucking hate my husband. He sucks so bad. I'm going home to fuck the Axeman. I mean, Massimo, the guy who makes wooden hands. That's not a bit that she says that to her husband's face, that she's going to go home and fuck another guy. And he's there inexplicably. I know everybody was on the edge of their seats wondering, will there be a resolution to the Massimo and Elsa storyline? There is. And it sucks. And it's unnecessary. And it sucks. They're having like lunch, I guess, at her house.
Yeah.
And he
and we get a strange amount of story and character development for Massimo, who is truly like the most, why is this character like Massimo is simultaneously the most interesting character they've ever made and the one that I wish was here the least, because he like doesn't really take part for how much time he consumes. Because they're like, oh, hey, you know what happened? He's like, oh, I went to Nevada and I built tiny wood villages for them to blow up with nuclear bombs. And it's like, oh, very interesting. He's like, yeah, I'm just anything with wood I do, apparently. It's just that's my thing.
Yeah, beautiful handcrafted wooden hands, fake villages for the military to explode. Same thing, you know, potato, potato.
Yeah. What's the difference between an artesian, like, 2x2 piece of wood versus a Potemkin village? Nothing. So Elsa then, you know, kind of goes, oh, I'm bored, I'm lonely, everybody who I'm friends with is on my payroll, so they can't say no to me, that kind of thing. Which... yeah, isn't that exactly what the freak show was, where, like, literally at one point someone stood up to her, so she put a knife in him?
Yeah, but it's okay, because apparently the implication here is that she did not pay the freaks. The freaks did not make a wage while working at the freak show, I guess. So
I
it was
guess,
fine.
Yeah.
Fucked up. At this point, the Amazon overlay, because I watch it on Amazon, is like, hey, didn't this lady have wooden legs? Where are those? And I'm like, you're so right, Amazon overlay. I've also been asking that for the whole episode.
Especially egregious when she's with the man who she met because he made her wooden legs.
And in a few minutes, her wooden legs are going to be real important. It's going to be crazy that she just straight up doesn't have them. Yeah, and she's like, hey, that one time that I made a wish on the cake that Ethel made, I said I wanted to be loved. Isn't that cool? And I went back and looked at the episode to make sure they weren't full of shit. And surprisingly, they did. It's a weird dog shit callback that has no payoff and I don't give a shit about, but at least they're not lying. And she's like, hey, well, what if we ran away and we were together? I know my whole deal is that I've wanted to be a Hollywood lady, and I'm like that, like, big style, but, like, I'd like to leave and go live with the puppet man.
She does a whole, I was cursed for so long by never having my dreams come true, and now I'm cursed by having all of my dreams come true, which it's like, yeah, maybe that's like self-reflection time at some point, you know, but hey, what are you going to do?
Yeah, common denominator here.
Yeah. So she implores him, you know, oh, I need you to run away with me, please. We'll go. Finally, I'll learn some German and Italian or whatever. And he goes, I'm sorry, my love. I have bonitis and it's killing me and I'm going to die.
Lazy.
I have lung disease that spread into my bones and they tell me I have a month and they're 100% and there's no way I'm going to live more than a month. So like, don't even like bother me by asking what if it's, I'm going to die. So don't even mention it. They're like so sure. So it's like I had a dream that, you know, came about too late. And it's like, I mean, for me, that would be like a chance to go out in style with the Hollywood lady I loved for like a month or so, like in the wonderful village or whatever. That sounds awesome. Massimo, this guy's so dumb. it's brutal, man. Like, he gets, like, handed the greatest opportunity of a lifetime. He's like, nah, I'm good. No, thanks.
Yeah, no thank you. None for me. Goodbye,
honestly,
Elsa.
I think he secretly values making Elsa sad more than anything else. He's like, this is going to own. I'm going to make her sad again. Check this out.
Yeah, I gave her really cool legs, and then I killed a bunch of Nazis for her. And now, I'd like to make her sad. I think it's cool when she's sad.
this is my character now, yeah. I guess. That's the only way this makes sense, yeah.
I like showing up at random intervals just to make her life a little worse, and then I leave.
Hey, I did something that should like traumatize you a little bit. There's no reason for me to tell you about this, but I did do it and I need you to be traumatized by it. Okay, bye-bye.
Time for me to never see you again. And then we guess what?
Well, that's
guess
the
what?
Worst that can happen to her, right? Oh yeah.
Wait, yeah. What's this? that was it. They just brought Massimo back for like 5 seconds for him to just leave again. Like truly the biggest wet fart of like, well, I didn't give a shit, so why did you mention it? Yeah.
Like, just beep it's him like for the hell so of it good. At this point. Like,
yeah.
Also, like, they have this character, Massimo, who was, like, killing, like, hunting down Nazis and shit, and they're like, yeah, he just, like, dies sad alone of bonitis. It's like, wow, how horrifying. Wow.
Now it's later that night, and Elsa is drinking, and that guy's name is Michael, evidently. Michael, her husband, comes home. They love using the name Michael. I know, because mm-hmm. it's very
yeah.
unfortunate yeah. for this podcast, mm-hmm. And they do
yeah,
it a lot. Yeah,
yeah.
And then the executive of the network is also there with him for some reason, and they're like, hey, we're here to yell at you, actually.
Also, the way they handle this character, is this character like being played by an actual guy? Is this like an actual guy situation? Because like they act like I should know who he is.
Oh,
it's
the
weird,
like the executive, maybe.
The executive,
I looked
yeah.
him up, and it's weird because there is someone with his name, but it doesn't quite match who it is. So I can't tell if it's like just a weird sort of coincidence or a thing they did. So unclear, honestly.
It almost feels like a guest casting thing because he is not good.
No.
Not to be rude, he is not good in the scene. But yeah, so he's like, hey, Elsa, we got to talk and it's good, you know, and she's like, oh, okay, well, I'll get you a drink. And the executive's like, oh, I need one for sure. And he's like, so we were digging around and it turns out someone unearthed some films of you from Germany that were pretty, pretty, you know, sexually explicit. And she's like, oh, do you mean the films where, against my will, a horrifying Nazi scientist cut my legs off while right. I screamed in agony?
Nazi.
Yeah, basically pormo. Like, it's like, what are you talking about, brother? Are you dumb?
She wasn't,
there's
like,
no
naked
world.
Or anything. She was, like,
there's
fully clothed.
No world even back then where people would be like, oh, well, she can't be on the air. She had her legs cut off. Like, what the
fuck? Yeah, like, she would just be like, yeah, that's how I lost my legs, comma, you know, my wooden legs that I'm also definitely famous for.
Hey, like, you know who Americans also don't like still? Nazis, you know, in the 60s.
Yeah. Like, it's just like, Nazis who cut off the legs of their favorite performer? Yeah, I think they'd be, like, against those guys.
Frankly, like, this would be huge publicity for her. Like, holy shit, she survived all that, she's still singing and everything, like, wow.
Yeah, huge bump. Yeah. Huge bump for sure.
But they're like,
yeah,
she can't perform anymore, this is too controversial, what will the children think.
Yeah, also her husband is like super upset about this. He's like, you said you lost your legs to a train. I'm like, equally horrifying.
Like a railroad accident, which, yeah, like, that's not like better.
That means she was laying across a train track like an old timey, like, captured person and like a villain with like a twirly
she
mustache.
Got tied.
Yeah.
Yeah. Rocky and Bullwinkle looking ass.
Yeah.
Oh my god.
And they only got her upper body untied in time, so it cut off her legs. Yeah. No. And he's like, "That's it. That's. I thought a train took your legs, but you're telling me it was a Nazi with a chainsaw? I'm out of here. I'm out of here. I'm leaving you."
What? Why would you have lied about this? I'm not going to even think about her possible reason.
Yeah, and then they're like, also, we found out about the freak show. And I'm like, I would have thought that would have been found out a lot earlier, given that everybody there fucking died.
Also, that, like, it seems like something Elsa would have brought up immediately when she talked about her bevy of weird talents she has. Yeah. Like, that seems like that would be, like, a pretty common conversation starter. Yeah.
Yeah, I ran a circus. You don't even have to say it was, like, a freak show. Just be like, yeah, I ran a circus. Like, you'd think that would be, I don't know, something.
You didn't tell us there was a carnival sideshow at this freak show. Like, there was a lot at this freak show, okay, actually. You know what? We had rides, too. I'm not even sure why, but...
And apparently this is too much, and Elsa goes, you know what? I will perform on Halloween. And I'm like, great?
What if he doesn't pick you? What if Edward Mordrake doesn't pick you? Like, there's got to be like billions of people doing stuff on Halloween that would count as performance.
But you know what, too? Like, she was just kind of like, you know, it turned out my dream was hell after all. Well, now I can't do it anymore. I should go to hell. Like, wait, no, you're getting what you wanted, actually. You just said that, even. But, all right, fine.
This is so cool. The good news is that we have time for one more musical number. We had one more for the road. They did so good with like 6 episodes of no musical numbers from the wrong decade. And then they windmill slam Elsa singing Heroes by David Bowie. And she doesn't give a shit while she's doing it.
Wow, I was going to say, bold of you to say singing. Like, yeah. I would say there is... You know what? She's attaining a pitch with her words, and that's about as close to singing as I will give it.
Elsa Mars invented spoken word, is what she did.
It, like, you know that one time that William Shatner, like, did spoken word David Bowie, and it was, like, a big meme?
This Rocket is Man, like right? That. Yeah. Yeah. Exactly. Yeah, yep. Good call. God damn it.
I bet you guys are wondering what happened to the other people at the freak show. More than I am to this, frankly, to Elsa's deal. And luckily the show knows that. And they're like, hey, cut to somewhere else in the world that we don't need to know exactly where they are. To Desiree, who married Angus T. Jefferson and has 2 children with him. And they're walking outside and they see Elsa on TV performing on Halloween. And they have a very normal human conversation between 2 adults where they humble brag about their own house and the amenities of their house to each other while standing in the middle of the road. Yeah. A very normal human interaction.
So do you think they had to introduce Angus T. Jefferson earlier? Yeah. Or could we have just like seen Desiree with a nice, you know, man who is clearly a little well off who goes, yeah, we're doing great. Thanks for asking. Like, because I don't think the first part of Angus T. Jefferson, the most interesting man in the show, it just wasn't needed. He didn't really do anything.
Ty, I think you're I think you're forgetting the most important moral takeaway that they would like us to have here, which is that no one would love someone who was differently abled or like slightly different than quote unquote normal. We would definitely need to hear that person, especially if they were well off and like conventionally attractive. We would need to hear them give their justification as to why they would be willing to put up with such an affront, such as a woman having three titties. So we needed him to show up so that he could talk to whatever her name was, who died, got cut in half, and say, no, I love Desiree and her three titties. So yeah, we definitely needed that. In this TED talk, I will.
Yeah.
That's fine.
Jimmy has a house, is married to the twins.
How does he get a house? Like, where's his money?
Good question.
Anyway.
Yeah.
I don't know. I guess so here's
Dandy
the thing.
Mott bought the circus. Yeah,
I was going to say, on that same note, I think what they want us to think is that since Desiree and Jimmy and the twins killed Dandy, that they just got to, like, have his money. Like, he's a boss who drops loot.
Chronicles of Riddick. Chronicles of Riddick rules. Okay, you keep what you kill.
Salvage.
All
right,
right. All right.
It is Florida, to be fair, where like maybe that is a thing.
Some states have castle doctrine. Some states have Chronicles of Riddick doctrine.
I'm just saying, if any state's going to have it.
Florida. Yeah, definitely. Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's like illegal to do Beyblading outside. So, but if you kill someone, you do get their mansion.
I will say, so that is, I think, their unspoken explanation for how they have money. My follow-up would be, how do they have a house? Parentheses. Jimmy was still convicted of 9 murders. So...
Oh, yeah!
And, like, escaped jail and is a man who is wanted by the police.
That probably would
I think they want us to
report.
Think, like... I want them to think, like, they were just like, hey, so you know how that one guy admitted he did it and paid you off to, like, not... say it. Well, we hear he's dead now, so you can just tell the truth and say he did it. It's cool.
Yeah.
I think that's what they were assuming. Like, that just went down, and the cops were like, yeah, okay.
But wait, the thing about it, like, yes, for the cops, but like the town didn't get paid off, and like they blamed all of the serial murders on him, like the gay guy who went missing and whatnot, and the people that Dandy murdered. The town thinks that
here's the other guy who did it. Now you all have to agree to be nice to Jimmy because we told you he didn't do it. So no one can be mad at Jimmy ever again. So be nice. He didn't do it.
Just let him go live his life and wherever he is with the twins, I guess. The twins also did a murder.
So we did
what?
It? No.
You thought what? These broads did a murder? Oh, fuck.
Oh, my God. They murdered... Okay, whatever. Anyway,
yeah, they killed their mom. Yeah, for the record. Not a bit. They did.
Yeah. They're pregnant, I guess. Is this good? I don't know. Whatever. Do we care? No, not particularly.
No, that's the... Yeah, no, that's the big piece of it.
And now we're back to Elsa, and Edward Mordrake shows up outside with a really sad twisty for some reason. He looks so sad. You'd think he'd be happy now, because he's like, he's got his face back, and also he's with people who aren't mean to him. And then
hell's not such a big problem.
Yeah.
Really?
Not as bad as you would think. And they see Elsa's star on the Walk of Fame, which seems like really, really convenient that he spawned right there. Crazy. And he like shows up in the middle of her singing. Anyway.
There is one very funny scene with a random one-off filler actor where, as Edward Mordrake is walking in, they have him do the cheesy-ass fucking Are You Afraid of the Dark-looking-ass fog across the ground so it just starts rolling in green fog. Like, in the actual, like, confirmed, that's real. Everyone sees that because a guy in the booth goes... Oh, fuck, the gas isn't supposed to happen till the goddamn goblin sketch, which I just wanted to know. know, like, what is the Goblin sketch? That's what I want to know. What are we doing here with this song and dance bullshit? Oh, great, a cover of a song from the future. Who cares? Goblin sketch!
Oh, yeah, that's so cool. Edward Mordrake walks up. So that means I assume that other people can see him, too. They're very unclear about this.
Like, yeah, because that's why I mentioned it, is because later on, like, they have other people cut after Elsa stops singing, and they explicitly go, she's just standing there. Like, so they apparently don't see them, but they do see the fog, which is, like, weird and annoying.
What if, what if the fog is from the Goblin sketch and Edward Mordrake's kind of pranking her? It's like, well, turn this on quick, early. We'll fuck with this. I can't do magic fog. What are you, crazy? I only have so many powers.
Oh, my God. And Edward Mordrake walks up to Elsa and is like, hey, wait a second. You're trying to kill yourself. That's crazy. I've never had someone, like, want me to show up before. That's crazy. Okay. And Twisty's like, yeah, he's going to stab you and it is going to hurt, but, like, you'll be fine. It's fine. And Edward Mordrake's like, oh, yeah. I'm, like, for sure going to stab you. Also, though, I'm not going to take you with me. I'm going to still stab you. I'm not going to take you with me, though. I am. Cannot be clearer. I am still going to stab you for some reason, even though that is not my bit.
It's so shitty,
yeah, it's
right?
It's so confusing because, like, there's two ways to take this. And it's either like, oh, well, I'm not going to do the other part of my myth, but I am just going to fucking kill you because, like, you're wasting my time. And then the other equivalent is it's like a thing where you throw your axe in the lake and the fairy queen comes out and is like, is this your gold axe or silver axe? And if you say, like, actually, I want to kill myself, she goes, all right, sending you to heaven. It's like, which, very, very strange riddle that I'm not sure I'm okay with the answer. Or two. If you summon me on purpose, I have to send you to heaven. Weirdest loophole I've ever seen.
Like, I think the funniest part of this is, in case anybody is somehow forgotten, because this has been a really long season, Edward Mordrake's thing specifically is that he's recruiting, like, the quote-unquote most freak person from every performance, and so he can have, like, a little posse of, like, the most freak people. He's not just, like, he doesn't just, like, kill people indiscriminately like John
Wick.
That's not his deal.
Well, even John Wick has a reason. Like, you kill his dog or something, right? Like, you're in his hotel.
Do you think they were like, he was Jack the Ripper, right? Like, after a while, they were like, yeah, he was like Jack the Ripper, right? That was his deal, I think. He was like Aleister Crowley or something. I don't know. It was like a different guy.
John Wayne Gacy? I forget.
Yeah. Something else.
Just wrap this up already, okay?
So,
just put her in the circus. Like, what does it matter? Like, if you're ending the show anyway, you know? Like, what does this mean? Why would they do this?
And so what he does is basically what Ty said, which is he stabs her and then sends her to heaven, ? So we're about to get one of these scenes. We had this in other...
If Edward Mordrake has the ability to stab somebody and send them directly to heaven, does he not have a moral duty to stab everyone as fast as possible to make... I don't have time to question Edward Mordrake's ability to manifest heaven into reality, and I don't want to think about it anymore. Sorry for bringing it up.
Yeah, also, we keep calling it heaven, but, like, the other... It's only because everybody from the freak show is about to be there, including Ma Petite, which, if it's not heaven, the implication is that this is hell, but, like, not regular hell.
Ma Petite had it coming.
Yeah.
Fucking, yeah. Ma Petite, I knew it.
Not only did Ma Petite get sent to hell and Meep get sent to hell, but also, like, this is special freak hell. Like, freaks aren't allowed to go to regular hell. They go to freak hell.
Yeah, and Ethel's there too, but she did try to, like, kill all the freaks at one point, you know.
Yeah. And also Ethel's, like, nice now. She's like, actually, I just, like, run in the show. Yeah. It's like, what are you talking about? You were like, I guess you, like, Was her "I'm dying of dying disease" part of her losing it, or like, I don't know. There's so many questions. This ending's so ass.
And then, like, I'm so glad that, like, you pointed out too, because, like, Maggie's not here, which you could say, okay, well, she was a con artist, technically not a freak. But Dell's not here either, which is like, well, what's that about? Like, he was a strong man. Like, that was the thing.
He wasn't a freak, remember? They specifically said he was the black sheep of the Toledo family.
Oh, my God.
Because he was too normal.
The whole inference of the show, though, is just, it's okay to be gay. Like, thank you, American Horror Story.
You will not go to hell. You won't go to freak hell, at least. Maybe that's what they're saying. They're like, slow your roll. Dell's in regular hell. Though he does have plenty of reasons to be there. It's not really hell, though, because, like, Penny and Paul are married and happy now. Ethel's chill now. All the freaks are not mad at Elsa. For some reason, they've just decided that it's cool. I guess after a certain amount of time in freak hell or heaven or whatever, you just get...
I think eternity does that. Yeah, at some point, things cease to matter as much. It's like, whatever, we're here for we can't be doing this forever. We gotta get over it.
I mean, they do address that in the season one of this show, and then also retroactively in stories and season eight of, like, what if you're stuck in eternity with people that you hate? They have not decided whether they think that is the case or not, that you just are cool with it.
The only thing I know is, like, I just don't die with Kendrick Lamar hating you.
Yeah.
That is the one thing I know, or you will never hear the end of it. I do like that you note Elsa starts performing again to a full house of... I like that you presume people from regular hell, because, I think this might be one of those, like... Papa Legba situations where, like, multiple services are being performed in one little pocket dimension. Cause, like, this would probably be my hell, like, being in a stinky old tent while an old lady sings bad music. Like, I'd be like, I really would rather not do. Oh, I have to give a standing ovation before she starts performing. Wow, this sucks. Don't even have games on my phone yet. Oh, no.
The last thing they end on is her performing Life on Mars again, and then, but before she starts singing, the crowd stands up and claps. Hey, that's so cool that you're portraying this as, like, her final moment, but, like, the last thing we saw before she did this and killed herself, kind of, was that she didn't actually like all of the attention from people, and performing wasn't actually what she thought it would be. So it's very strange that in her final, like, moment that would be what happens, is that she's happy because people are clapping for her, because that's what she's had for the last 10 years, according to what they're showing us in this episode.
And that's why she met up with Massimo and was like, actually, I'm not happy, Massimo.
Yeah, the lung and bones disease didn't kill him fast enough, so we didn't get to see if he got sent to freak hell, unfortunately.
Yeah, I was going to say, that's what I want to know. Where does Massimo get to go? What's Massimo got? Do you think Massimo was really dying, or he was just like, I can't deal with this lady?
Yeah, it was just like, we're going through a tunnel, but, like, in the 1960s.
I'm going through a tunnel disease. Yeah. Oh, no.
And in case you're wondering, that's it. That's it, baby. The season's over. Yay. The season's over.
Good.
There's so much bad end to this ending. It's unbelievable. Like, they feel the need to do all of this, like, showing what happens in the end to so many characters, and, like, the ones that we would want to see I guess Dandy, the whole thing is him drowning in a tank is supposed to be like contrapasso to what he did somehow. I don't know how drowning in a magician tank fits his crime, but so be it.
Sure.
So be it. Yes. Desiree is such a strange character to make it out unscathed as well. Like, just really baffling. Like, okay, I guess.
Yeah. At least Angus T. Jefferson gets a happy ending, I guess.
Congratulations.
Yeah.
Congratulations to Angus. Keep it up.
Yeah. I guess. Keep it up, bud.
Keep it up.
So
lazily giving a thumbs up to one character in the entire show. That's right, the one with the least lines, the guy who was mad about the fog going up before the goblin sketch.
Oh, this means that Maupetit is stuck doing a whole eternity as someone's hot water bottle.
Oh, yeah, that's right. I forgot that was kind of her deal. Except it shouldn't be, but it is. Whatever.
Damn, that's crazy.
I think the only thing I can really say is I feel like Freak Show had a lot of potential, but just squandered all of it, you know? Like, for some, like, I kind of liked parts of it, but then I didn't at the end. Like, they all just kind of, like, went to hell, so to speak.
It feels like this is where, if you were watching them in chronological order, you would maybe start to see some of the cracks if you had started in it like Coven or like late the series before Coven, and you'd be like, okay, they sometimes have weird problems with endings, but like, maybe it's a one-off thing. And then you'd watch this season and be like, I am out. I am so out. That would make unbelievable amounts of sense because... Damn, they like fall into such a bizarre pattern in endings. It sucks. Sucks.
And then you just get used to it. Then as someone who watches American Horror Story, that's just what you come to expect. Even if you are a fan of the show, you just expect that the ending will be bad and probably the penultimate episode also.
Yeah. They're going to close a lot of plot threads and then later on reference the like one plot thread they didn't close, but they didn't close it because people didn't care enough about it, so they forgot. And then it comes up later, and you're like, I guess the gimp suit's still in the house? Sure.
Or they, like, bring it up again. Like, it's like, oh, we got a reference. Here it is. And you're like, oh, I think that I remember that. And it's like, yeah, season three, motherfucker, or something. And you're like, okay, thanks.
Yeah. So that leaves us looking over the edge of the precipice to the next season. But I have great news.
Yes.
Lady Gaga's in this season. And that's really...
Is it Hotel?
It's Hotel.
Yeah, it's Hotel.
Yeah! Yes. This is the one that this is the one that got me interested originally, because this is the episode that Slowbeef tweeted about live when it was airing way back in the day and getting incredibly mad about... Things that I only passively understand concepts of, like an addiction demon and Lady Gaga in a bathtub, getting confused.
It's I'll cover it a lot when we get to the season 5 premiere. But like, I almost feel like you could excuse me, divide American Horror Stories like seasons into fours, at least the first two, because this is where like 5 is where shit just starts to get like wild. You know what I mean? You get Roanoke afterwards, you get Cult, which is wacky, you get Apocalypse, which is real wacky. But like Hotel's where it starts and it's like limiters are off, like we don't know what we're doing and we're happy to show that. And it's like, wow. This is where I was just like, this whole series is terrible. Oh my god, but you know. I can't wait.
I'm excited. I'm actually quite excited because, like, they've been a little formulaic towards the end of this. It's wild because they're so over the top. They're using so many high saturated colors and so many out of place songs and this, that, the other. But it's true. They still feel a little bit like they're trying to hide it or they're like a little ashamed of it. Mm-hmm. Whereas Cult, they really were not. Cult, they just were doing shit.
Yeah.
They were just doing shit. Yeah. And I am excited to get back to American Horror Story. We're just doing shit. It's been a while. I haven't seen a clown jack off on a melon all day.
Oh,
I can't wait.
You are going to be happy, my friend.
Oh, is there a lot of jacking off this season? Oh, baby, it's going to be a banger.
It's going to be good.
It is.
Till next time, everybody. Thanks for listening.
Bye. Later.